Hey, sweets.
Hey, savories.
I'm Melissa.
I'm AJ, and this is the
Sweet or Savory Podcast.
Hey, everyone. Oh, my goodness. Welcome to episode 9.
We are happy to be back in the Texan studio.
Yes, the Texan home.
We missed you, Julie and Nathan.
We missed y'all so much.
We missed you.
If this is your first time tuning into Sweet or Savory, we talk about a lot of things, but it actually started because of a debate that we had with a group chat with some of our closest friends with the topic of, is peanut butter sweet or savory?
And AJ and I have been together for over 5 years, engaged for over a year now.
Ooh.
And we have a lot in common, but a lot of things that we disagree on too.
Yes. Like, you know, does pineapple belong on pizza, or
which way do you load your toilet paper?
Disneyland versus Disney World.
Are there more wheels or doors in the world? Mm-hmm.
And next week, our last episode of the season anyway. Who knows if it's the last episode of Sweet or Savory.
No, it won't be.
No, it won't be.
Don't say that.
But the topic will be, can you be friends with your ex? And other polarizing topics. Sorry, that's usually your line.
No, but it is, can you be friends with your ex and other polarizing related topics.
Very true.
Stay tuned for that episode. Also, check us out on YouTube if you're not already. Please subscribe, rate, review, all the things.
Also, there is a video feed right now if you are on Spotify, which is cool. So video podcast on Spotify is a new thing, and we are part of the beta, which is really cool.
Today's topic is probably my favorite so far. We are talking about weddings.
Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun. We are getting married this year.
Yeah, we are.
August 2022.
And a second wedding. Oh, I said that with so much heartbreak
so
in my
much
throat.
Heartbreak.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm good. In September 2022, literally the next month. Mm-hmm. So we already have a lot of experience when it comes to wedding planning under our belt.
And we've also been to around 10 weddings just in the last 12 months.
Yes.
So we also have a lot of experience as wedding guests and attendees. So as we go through all of the questions, we're going to be sharing what we're planning to do for our wedding, maybe some, you know, experiences that we've had at weddings.
Yeah, some things that we've maybe had to compromise on.
Right.
But I'm also excited because our producer, Julie, is married.
Yes.
And can also share.
That's right.
Her perspective.
She's taken.
Yes. You see that ring. She's been married to our cinematographer, since, you know, these are film quality podcasts.
Absolutely.
Nathan, for how long have y'all been married now?
Five and a half years.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
5.5 years.
That's about how long we've been together.
Yeah. They've been married.
Oh,
yeah. Yeah. Well, hopefully y'all have a vow renewal so we can celebrate.
I know.
Your I would love that.
That would be awesome.
Let's do it, Nathan.
Oh, he said yes.
Oh. Yay!
Well, let's jump right into it because I foresee this being a long episode. Let's be
weddings
real.
Weddings are there's a lot to cover. So let's jump.
Okay, so starting off with a basic. Big or small wedding?
You want me to go first?
Yeah, yeah.
If it were up to me, big wedding.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Yes, because I have a huge family. So does AJ. And I've always dreamed, you know, You think about your wedding from a very young age because you watch the movies, you know, people talk about
it.
Maybe you've attended weddings. So this is a day that I've always dreamed about, and I've always pictured, you know, a huge wedding where I'm the princess and I'm going to walk down and see my prince and it be a whole fairy tale thing. And, you know, I've always just pictured a huge crowd, like looking into a huge crowd of people, and always pictured a big celebration.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, seeing the way you talk about this is...
Replan it all now.
I know, dang it.
Start over.
That mindset is not that much different from what I imagined and what I would want. But, you know, especially since we got engaged during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm. 2020.
2020.
December.
Obviously, we're still kind of in it, right? I was always cool with just getting married at the court and maybe having a party or something like that. But I will say that I also imagine seeing all my cousins and my big family and your cousins, because your cousins are so awesome as well, when we get married. And unfortunately, that's not going to happen for our first wedding, which will be in Hawaii with less than 50 people.
Less than 50 people. So we had to have that conversation early on, and it actually took us 6 months to start planning the wedding because we couldn't decide on big or small. That was like the big topic. Yeah. Like, we didn't know whether we were having a big or small wedding. So we couldn't make any decisions on the venue, on anything really, because we didn't know what we were going for. But we ended up compromising at having two weddings.
Big and small.
One big and one small.
So the second one also isn't as big as maybe one would think.
That, yeah, like in the head, in my brain, right, in the dream wedding.
Our network together is, you know, a couple thousand people that we've like...
that we consider as close friends.
Literally, it's a lot. And if you can imagine, you know, me also having traveled so much, doing college shows, you know, all over the world, I have a lot of close friends just... anywhere.
From meeting people.
From just meeting them and them housing me during my darkest days, you know, things like that. My mom's side of the family is in Australia. So that's a whole nother family. But the big wedding still is only like 250 people max. Yeah.
So we did have to max it out. Obviously, not enough space. But
yeah. Julie, what was your wedding like size wise?
I would say it was pretty medium. I wanted big wedding.
Yeah.
But we actually did something similar. We had a main wedding here and then a second reception because I had moved out of state.
I would say that it does feel special to be part of an intimate wedding.
It does.
You know, like a smaller wedding is like, whoa, I made the list and you feel honored.
Yeah. When we've been to a couple of weddings, big and small. And when we've been at, I mean, always an honor to be a guest, regardless of how big or small. But when we've been to weddings where it's been a small group, we've been like, wow, like we were chosen to be here on their big day, which is really special.
All right, so we have some thoughts from Helen Wu as well from the ABG podcast. And Helen Wu Wang, actually, I think now.
Yep.
Did she take his last name?
I'm not sure, actually.
Yeah, so our friends Helen and Phil, they got married, you know, during the pandemic. And
they got engaged in 2019. Yeah. We're planning a huge wedding that was supposed to happen in 2020.
Yeah.
I was there for the entire process via social media on Instagram.
Yes.
And I was so excited for them to finally get married. And then they had to keep postponing it. But they ended up having their
own
wedding.
Yeah, they ended up having their own little thing. So let's hear a little more about it.
Hello to the Sweet and Savory podcast. This is Helen from the Asian Boss Girl podcast. And first off, I just want to say congrats to AJ and Alyssa on launching a podcast and having amazing production value off the bat. You two are incredibly talented and so, so fun. But thanks for asking me to be on this. Okay, so for this question, my husband, Philip, and I got married in May of last year, and we didn't even have a micro wedding. We had like a mini-ass wedding. I don't even know what you would call it, but it was just us two at a Joshua Tree Airbnb, and we got married over Microsoft Teams by someone who's clearly in a call center. His background was blurred, and you could hear other people's weddings going on at the same time. But it was definitely not how I envisioned my wedding to go. I will say, though, that it was pretty damn perfect the way that it happened. It was just, I mean, it was just us two dedicating a day specifically to ourselves and our love for one another. We got dressed up. I still wore a dress. He wore a tux. We took some photos, went on a hike, got frisky on the hike. We saw the sunset. We went to Stater Bros and picked out our quote-unquote wedding cake, which was like a $4.50 tuxedo cake, and went back to our Airbnb, ate it, had our first dance together, snuggled under an incredible sky filled with stars, talking about what we wanted in our future together. So it was there are huge bonuses for intimate weddings. I don't think we would have wanted to change any of that. And I will say that on top of that, we actually had a pretty sizable wedding for March of last year, and that got canceled due to the pandemic. And not gonna lie, we would have spent a down payment on a house in one day for that wedding. So instead, we were able to buy our first home with that money. So huge plus for an intimate wedding on the emotional and financial side.
Aww,
Helen, we love you so much. Thank you for the kind words. And how funny that you got frisky on your hike.
So glad you got to have your moment in Joshua Tree. It sounds so beautiful. And the fact that you got to have the down payment for the house, that is a huge plus for a small wedding.
The poll on our Instagram is very much one way over the other. Do you want to take a guess?
I'm guessing most people say big.
Gotcha. Well, actually, based on our Instagram, it is big 29% and small intimate 71%.
Wow. I wonder if that has changed since the pandemic and since people have started planning maybe smaller weddings, because I could have sworn like big weddings were a thing, like more popular for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe people have seen the small weddings over the last couple of years and thought like, that's actually really nice.
Yeah.
One of my mods on Twitch, Adriana T, she wrote this in the Sweet or Savory Discord channel, which is smaller wedding. I want people who have really made a difference in our life to be there. And she puts hot take, even though I don't actually think this is a hot take. I'm not going to invite random family members who feel entitled to be there just because they are some blood somewhere. If you cannot even remember that I already graduated high school and college, then you weren't present in my life enough to make a difference.
Yeah.
And I don't think that's a hot take at all. I know that maybe, especially, and Adriana's Filipino, maybe in, you know, our culture as well, there's a lot of family pressure, a lot of family involvement even. And maybe our parents will say, oh, did you invite the cousin or your second cousin from your aunties? You know, things like that. And I would say, don't feel bad. Don't think it's a hot take to not invite people you know, even if they're blood related to you.
It maybe used to be more of a hot take because when family is involved, I don't know. There's a lot of layers there, but I don't think it's a hot take either. I think it's okay to do what you want to do.
So what about traditions? Would you go for a traditional wedding or non-traditional, each of you separately, if you had your own way?
I would do non-traditional. Only because a lot of the traditional things for a Filipino wedding take up a lot of time and also like resources, so money. But we like, I also like having a little bit of the tradition, but mostly non-traditional. I don't know. I guess I'm more non-traditional.
Got you. Yeah. Like you're more modern.
More modern.
I'm a Filipina lady.
Modern bride.
A modern bride.
I guess I do lean towards traditional because, you know, I was raised Catholic. I play at church. You know, I know how everything goes. It's like for there to be tradition in, say, a service or a mass, any church I go to, like even in the Philippines or Australia, like I know the format. I could be a guest pianist in any church as long as I know the format, right? So that just, it makes me feel safe in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. And I have played piano for probably over 300 weddings. And most of them have been Catholic services. And because of the format and because of the way it's supposed to go,
it doesn't feel like long to you. It just feels like home.
It doesn't feel long to me. I mean, I know that an hour sounds long for a ceremony, but that's kind of like normal as far as the weddings that I've been to growing up, you know? And I still feel just as emotional when I, you know, I play the entrance song, and I've been doing this since I was 10 years old. So I play the entrance song and then I watch the vows. I get emotional and then I play the last song, or I play like some songs in between as well if they have some special songs that mean something to them. And then I play the end song and I'm happy. I get paid and then I go on with my day, and it's a really special thing, even though it sounds like I'm just going through the motions. Yeah. But I recognize that a wedding is a huge day, but I'm kind of more in the
I guess when I say non-traditional, I mean like being able to like cut things where it's, you know, goes long, or like add things. So like a traditional Catholic ceremony has like all the structures. Non-traditional would be like cutting things out or adding things in.
Yeah.
In that case, I prefer non-traditional because I like to customize things to make it work.
I do. Yeah. I mean, and that's exactly what we're doing for our first wedding, especially. And I love that. And I'm super excited to make it our own.
Mm-hmm.
That somebody maybe in the future might be like, oh, this is how AJ and Alyssa did their wedding and they did this thing. Maybe we'll take some of that. And
maybe it'll become traditional because it was so great.
Yes. Maybe a tradition in our own family.
Yeah.
You know, we starting the traditions. Mm-hmm. What was your guys' wedding like?
I would say it was fairly traditional. Would you say that, Nathan?
Yeah, I think some of it was... pretty traditional. Yeah, what you would expect from like a wedding at, on average, I don't know, in California. Mm-hmm.
There's actually a few traditions that we didn't do that I wish we did.
Oh.
Okay.
Like which what? Maybe we get into this later. I don't know. But like I never did a bouquet toss.
Okay.
Oh. We ended up not doing...
Was that a logistical thing or did you forget? Or
no, I think at the time I was just trying to be cool. Like, I don't really care about cheesy stuff. And I'm like, no, care about it.
Yeah.
It's your wedding. Also, our cake started melting.
Oh gosh. No.
So it was tipping over. So we were going to do a cake cutting moment, but because it was falling over, the planner asked me like, do you want to do it right now or do you want to cut it out? And I was like, it's okay. We can just cut it out. Cause otherwise we would have cut the cake like before dinner and everything.
Got it.
So we didn't do that.
Another tradition that I wanted to bring up is a Filipino wedding tradition, which is the cord and veil, which is something that we'll incorporate in our second wedding.
Mm-hmm.
It would have been cool to maybe squeeze that into our first wedding, but it does take some time. And
for logistical purposes, and we talked about this with our wedding planner, our ceremony, because it's outside and it's not going to be tented, we have to try to minimize the amount of things that we're doing during the ceremony so that if it rains, we can go in, do it, and then go into the tented area.
Right, right, right. And the rain won't be heavy at all.
It won't be heavy, but just any rain at all, we're trying to minimize the amount of time we're not covered.
So the Filipino cord and veil thing happens in the middle of the ceremony, and you usually have your sponsors, which are your godparents, your ninongs and ninongs, to come through and bring a cord and wrap it. Actually, they put the veil first. So they put a veil over both of you as you're kind of facing away from the audience. You know, you're facing the altar. And the veil symbolizes like oneness and protection for your marriage, right? And then another couple brings a cord over the bride and the groom, or the bride, groom, groom, and they put them over. And that symbolizes eternity and unity. So it's a cool little part.
I like knowing the background.
Yeah. So because it's protection for your marriage and then also celebrating the infinite eternity and unity. And that's given to us by our godparents who we see as strong role models for marriage.
Love that.
We asked on our Instagram and also to our friends and family, what is a fun traditional or non-traditional thing that you did at your wedding? And we have Jason Y. Lee from Jubilee Media.
Love Jubilee, love Jason.
Love all the Mel. Jubilee videos. And Jason got married to our friend Mel as well in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
And he would like to share something with us about this fun traditional thing that he did at his wedding. Here we go.
Hey, AJ and Alyssa, this is Jason Y. Lee from Jubilee here. And I've got a question which asks, what is a fun, non-traditional, or fun traditional thing that you did at your wedding? When Mel and I finally got to have our wedding in September of 2021, one thing we were really excited to do was a Korean pebik ceremony, which is kind of usually that like really intimate Korean, what they call like unification tradition with family, and they throw the chestnuts. But we didn't want to do it in private, which is often what happens. We actually said, hey, wouldn't it be really fun if we could actually do it during the middle of reception? We'll do it in the middle of the dance floor. And after we have our parents and our siblings all come out and throw the chestnuts, we'll actually invite anyone from any guests to come up and do it as well. And the folks who are doing the pebek ceremony said, hey, that's not really normal or traditional. And we said, that's okay. We just wanted to be really community focused. And they said, okay, probably like three or four people will show up. And when we made the invitation set to say, hey, if anyone wants to partake, please come on up, we actually had almost everyone attending our wedding come up and literally had hundreds of people throwing chestnuts at us. So I love this incredible photo that we have from our wedding, surrounded by loved ones doing that. So that was probably my favorite part. But also just want to say, we're so excited for you. Aww. Hope wedding planning is going well. And congratulations again.
Aww.
Wow.
That's so sweet. Of course, everyone wanted to participate. I would if I was a guest.
What a beautiful way to kind of not necessarily change the tradition, but open up the tradition.
Yeah.
To everyone around you.
Mm-hmm. To participate and learn. That's so cool.
Yeah. I love that. Aww.
Aww.
That's so cool. All right, so we have another voice note from mm-hmm. another friend of ours online, and her name is Caitlin McHugh Stamos, and she just happens to be married to John Stamos, Uncle Jesse.
Uncle Jesse!
And she just started a podcast of her own called mm-hmm. How Can I Help? So you can check that out everywhere that podcasts are available.
Yes.
And yeah, she had something to say.
Fun or non-traditional? Fun, non-traditional, traditional. It was a shotgun wedding that we planned in 2 weeks because I was rather pregnant at the time.
Oh.
Even though I was pregnant and we were both married before, I wore a white dress and we got married in church. So traditional.
That was it for the traditional non-traditional.
She has some more thoughts on some of other questions that we posed as well.
Yeah.
But that's really cool.
I know. Yeah. I feel similarly if I was in her boat as well. I would still do, I don't think you necessarily have to follow all of the rules when it comes to like wearing a white dress or getting married in a church. I think that's awesome.
Here's one from the Jackie Z. No bridesmaids and no groomsmen.
Oh.
Wow.
I've seen that. Like a new thing where people are doing no bridesmaids, no wedding party, just mm-hmm. to keep it
even
simple.
Best man and maid of honor.
Yeah, even best man and maid of honor, even none of those. Actually, Asia Deng and Brian Puspos are engaged, and she had talked about on her TikTok and Instagram that she's not doing a wedding party.
Wow.
And not having any bridesmaids, maid of honor, any of that.
Lazy Like Hoy, our friend Maxine, says boba bar.
Love that. We've been to one wedding or two weddings where they've had a boba bar, and it's been the best, like...
Unlimited boba, imagine.
Dessert / late night snack. Like it covers all and it's just awesome.
Yes. Karina, who is my stepbrother's wife, she's a sister essentially, said money dance. And that's another Filipino tradition.
Is it a Filipino thing?
I've seen it mostly done at Filipino weddings, but I'm sure it exists in other traditions. You know, people dance with the bride and the groom. And they line up behind whoever they want to dance with.
Yep.
And you have pins and you have cash.
Like dollar bills. And you pin them on the bride or the groom, whoever you're dancing with.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, you like give them a dollar and then you get to dance with them and have a little moment.
Or sometimes it's 10 or sometimes it's 100.
Oh yeah, it doesn't have to be a dollar. I think people should do Venmo as well.
Right.
Because I've been to weddings where I didn't take cash and they had a money dance and I wanted to join, but I couldn't.
Right.
Or have your wedding planner or someone help have extra, like either fake money or cash.
Yeah, that I like they that. Can That's use. A good idea. Yeah.
The bride can just have like the Venmo
sticker.
QR code.
QR code. QR code
That's
on
not arm. A bad idea.
Oh, yeah. So then it can show. Dance.
We're going to do that. We're doing that. We're doing that.
We love that. Mother and daughter dance. My friend Carla said, I love that.
That's what Megan did too.
That's really cool. And no cake, it never gets eaten anyway.
Ooh.
Interesting take.
I love cake. I love eating cake at weddings though.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think it just depends on preference of the bride and groom. No one really cares if there's not cake, mm-hmm. but yeah. I think for our wedding, at least for our first wedding, we're having vegan cake because AJ cannot have dairy, but it's very delicious vegan cake.
It's so good, y'all.
I think we ended up choosing coconut pineapple to fit the theme of our wedding.
Yeah.
But we also are going to have Lily Koi cupcakes.
Yeah.
So that's passion fruit. Uh-huh. So it's going to be very tropical.
Yeah.
Yes.
Love it. I'm so excited.
So that takes us into another tradition, actually, that is either done or not done, which is the first look. Can you explain what the first look is first to people who don't know what that is? Because I didn't know.
Until we started planning it. So the first look is when the bride and groom see each other for the first time on their wedding day. To be inclusive, could be bride and groom too, but this is the first time each other, the fiancés, are meeting for the first time on their wedding day. And it's called the first look because they're seeing each other for the first time. And typically this is actually done for logistical reasons. So you can get extra photos in and a moment of them seeing together for the first time without anyone else around. It's a private moment between the couple.
Yes. Julie and Nathan, did y'all do or not do?
We did not do a first look. Mm-hmm. Cool. I like the idea of it. And we also have photographed weddings before. So it's like the photographer's dream to have a first look. And some couples, I think it kind of helps calm the nerves. We wanted it to be a moment when I'm walking down the aisle, Nathan sees me for the first time. So that's why we did it that way. But I do think both of my sisters did first looks, and I think both are great.
Exactly the way that Nathan is looking at Julie right now. Did you see that?
It was memories flooding. It was sweet. That's so cute.
We are actually split on this, you and I.
Yes, we are.
I wanted to not do it because of the
feeling of seeing me for the first time. Exactly what they did. Yeah.
Exactly. But knowing me, I know I'm going to cry either way. So, you know, I'm a very emotional person, cry a lot of tears. So both ways work for me. But I think if we can not do it, that'd be cool.
We are not doing it. It's not on the schedule. So AJ, we compromised because that was something that AJ felt strongly about. I asked you a couple of times and we talked about it with our wedding planner. And logistically, I wanted to just to have the pictures. And so I wasn't stressed about getting photos later. And that was something that a lot of people recommend, but ended up compromising. And I know we're going to have a lot of photos. I just know between our family and friends who are going to take photos of us and the professional photos we're going to have. And we're having a second wedding. Like, we're going to have lots of photos. So no worries there.
Yes. And we have all these thumbnails from... our podcast.
Just consider these.
We're also having two engagement photo sessions too. So we have lots of photos.
So we actually have a take from our friends who got married late last year, Ashley and Mick Torres.
Yes.
And Ashley Argota, as she was previously known before being married, is an actress. She was on Nickelodeon and The Fosters. And she was, you know, representation for a lot of Filipina girls growing up.
Yes.
And they have something to say about the first look.
First look, I wish we didn't get talked into doing it. Like, it was the right thing to do. Because if you don't do it, then it's going to be an extra hour or so of photos just for the two of you. During the reception, you would miss an hour. So just for logistics, we did a first look, but I wish that the first time I had seen Ashley had been her walking down the aisle.
I personally liked the first look. My vision for it was that he was going to see me for the first time walking down the aisle. However, I didn't anticipate how nervous I was going to be that day. I was so crazy nervous all day long. So the first, and him too. So the first look gave us a chance to see each other a few hours before the ceremony happened. And it was very it just made me feel a lot better to be able to see him and spend some time with him. And I really love the portraits that we did. And also it allowed us during the cocktail hour to interact with our guests. And I was able to say hi to some people at least in that hour before we did the first dance.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we were at that wedding and it was beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's just some things you don't even know is happening behind the scenes.
As a guest, you don't think about that stuff. Honestly, you're thinking as soon as the ceremony is over, it's like, where can I get a drink and where can I get a snack?
Yeah. So, but it is cool when they come out to,
and interact
with you. You're like, you're here?
Because this is something we talked about. The bride and groom set the tone for the wedding. They are as the party hosts, as the people who are celebrating, a lot of the tone of the whole entire day falls on the bride and groom. And if they're feeling rushed or stressed, the guests can kind of feel that. But if they're kind of taking their time, talking to everyone, which is what I loved about John and Karina's wedding, is that they went around and talked to everyone the entire wedding.
Yeah.
And so I'll always remember that as one of
John
my favorite weddings.
John is my stepbrother.
And we have some additional thoughts from Caitlin McHugh.
Stamos.
Thoughts on first look. Why not? Well, even though, again, there was no mystery there, I was pregnant, we still didn't see each other until the ceremony. And And that was special. It was special that way. I have only both weddings that I had, I did that way. And I don't know, to each his own. I don't have any judgments there on first look or no first look.
I do agree with Ashley that I was much more nervous than I expected.
Really?
So I could see, I thought it was just going to be super chill wedding day. Mm-hmm. I got really nervous the day of. And as soon as I saw Nathan, I felt better.
Aww.
So I could see a first look being a really nice moment for some people.
I might be nervous too. I'm scared.
And I could see both ways, but I do know now that when you start planning, that's when you actually have to think about logistical stuff.
Yeah,
because so
it gets written into the schedule, gets communicated to the photographer, all of those things.
Mm-hmm.
So any thoughts on bachelor parties? Would you do a joint bachelor-bachelorette party? Or would you want to keep them separate?
We've talked about this. I've been to regular bachelor parties where it's all girls and joint bachelorette parties as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think for me personally, a bachelorette party with just my girls is my preference because we have very different ideas of like
what the party should
be. Me and my girl squad are like planning like a spa wellness retreat for our bachelorette party. And AJ and his boys are like, I don't even know what you guys are doing.
Well, we're going to Epcot first. That was just based on what the vibes we wanted. We're going to Epcot because it's still Disney World, which is, you know, that's part of me, part of my brand, almost loving Disney and drinking around the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's kind of
cool.
Sounds
fun.
So we will be a little litty lit, you know, and we're going to probably go to a bar after or something. I would like to say that we are not planning actively to go to a strip club or anything like that. I don't know what's going to happen, but that's not part of the plan.
I don't mind either way.
I just want to let you know we're not doing that. So it's just very two opposite.
You're not going to have strippers at your wellness.
I do not want that. That would not make me happy, honestly. I just really want it to feel like it's just quality time with all of the girls and everyone feels relaxed. And yes, there will be drinking. We're definitely going to have drinks and fun activities planned, but for me, like an ideal day is just like facials, massages, wine, spa, all of that.
Yeah.
How do you feel, AJ?
I feel pretty neutral about either way. If we happened to do a joint, I think it would be still fun. Although I know that my best man, Arby, like really would push for separate for sure. Cause he likes having just nights out with the boys.
What do you mean? I push for separate all the time.
No, I know you do.
AJ always includes me in boys' plans. I'm like, why am I here? I'm like, at least one girl, please.
Yeah, you're absolutely right.
What about plus ones? So do you allow your guests to bring a plus one? If so, how many?
Ooh.
I mean, how many guests, not how many plus ones.
So I think I had a different take on this before I started planning my own wedding. What? Like in my head, it was always like, if you are dating someone, they should probably like they would be invited because, you know, especially if they've met the couple and they've spent some time with them, like it's nice to give that person a plus one because they're taking time out of their day to come to your wedding. Now that I'm planning my own wedding,
you kind of understand.
I'm very understanding of the whole not getting a plus one thing.
Yeah.
Because
this has actually happened to us early in our relationship.
Yes.
Where you might have felt some type of way for not being invited to someone's wedding as a plus one. But you know, as the person who was there at the wedding and seeing someone else who's a close friend who they also weren't able to, didn't have a plus one.
Mm-hmm.
And granted, we don't need to know the reasons and it's none of our business of who gets a plus one and how someone gets a plus one. But, you know, I caught myself comparing a little bit and I see the friend and I'm like, oh, this person's been together with his girlfriend for a long time as well.
Mm-hmm.
And he also did not bring her,
you
know? And so I'm like, oh, I kind of feel better about this. But as you said, when you start planning and seeing what's going on behind the scenes, especially with the couple and how we, you know, come up with our, I guess, formula of it, you become way more understanding.
Exactly.
From the Instagram responses that I'm seeing, some people are just like, everyone. Some mm-hmm. people are saying, the homies. Like, you know, I think, and that may come from an experience of someone who has planned a wedding, but I do feel like, again, the more you go into it, you see the cost. So the cost per person is actually not just about food and about dinner. You know, you got to actually divide, you know, the venue cost as well.
It's it's not just the food cost. It's also the decor, the coordinators you have to pay for that are extra per person.
Yes.
The
security,
the bathroom situation. Like, there's a lot of things that go into the cost per person that, not saying that that person is not worth it, but there's just decisions that have to get made mm-hmm. in order to justify if someone gets a plus one or doesn't.
Yeah. Julie, how do you feel about
it? Which is why if you RSVP to a wedding and say yes, go to the wedding.
Yes.
Because I didn't realize this until we got married, that this is very common, that people RSVP yes, but then they don't show up.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're looking at the empty table like, there goes $1,000.
Oh my gosh.
So yeah.
There's a date that the couple needs to give back to their venue, to their planner, to order to solidify, or also to maybe invite a B-list of like extra distant family members or friends that they would love to be there, but you made the A-list and they made a B-list, and they can only invite the B-list mm-hmm. if you let them know if you're going or not. So this is a message to you. If you are not a good RSVP-er, or if you RSVP yes and you don't show up for some reason,
better.
We know people that do this.
Yeah.
We know people
we've seen it happen
in our lives that do this. So this is a message to you. Stop doing it.
Yes. Please let them know in advance.
All right. Unplugged versus plugged. would you allow your guests to have their phones out, their cameras out, or do you want to just leave it to the photographer and have everybody paying attention?
So my opinion on this has changed, actually.
Oh.
Yes. We haven't talked about this yet.
Oh,
maybe we should talk about it.
Let's talk about it now.
I was a firm unplugged ceremony. Like, we should have an unplugged ceremony. Mm-hmm. This is why we have a photographer. And it'll look really weird if everyone's like phones are up during when, you know, I'm walking down, we're all walking down. But after I've thought about it a little more and seen a couple of TikToks on wedding talk,
mm-hmm.
I feel like I'm actually okay with the phones, because then they capture angles that you don't get to see.
Yeah.
And I want to see it from all angles. And plus, like, we're not going to get our photos for like 2 months.
I was just going to say that.
And we love to post in real time.
Yeah.
So we're going to want to post things. And I also want to see it from like different angles.
From your perspective.
So I guess like in that sense, I would just have to sacrifice the kind of phones thing.
Yeah.
But I really want to have footage.
I think that if we are able to have the officiant or whoever announce in the beginning, hey, don't have your phones out in the aisle, like, you know, mm-hmm. obstructing, you know, the main focus, of course.
Yeah.
And if you're discreet enough about it, you know, do it. Maybe not put a rule to say like, absolutely no
unplugged,
phones,
yeah.
But maybe to be aware of that there are being photos taken. In the past, when I heard an unplugged ceremony, and this might have been because I was at a celebrity's wedding, mm-hmm. right? When they say unplugged, you don't know when to pull it out.
Yeah, like, you kind of feel
when
like,
does that rule end?
Yeah,
like
you kind of feel awkward if you're on your phone at all, because you want people to think you're breaking the rule.
Granted, there were also a lot of celebrities around, so I understand if the privacy of the reception. But like, I felt bad wanting to just take a selfie on the dance floor mm-hmm. with, you know, with the crew and with the people having fun, because also the photographer is taking, you know, general moments.
But you don't get the personal moments of each person.
Which I think is also part of the experience of going to a wedding and attending a wedding. And I don't know, that might sound selfish as an attendee, but I feel like, as I've stated in earlier podcasts, you know, pictures and memories like that can last a lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And they are super important to me, especially. I like plugged, I guess, but I would like the pictures to also be very clean as well.
Yeah, I agree.
Also, our officiant is Dante Bosco.
Yes.
And he will be a very convincing person. You will listen to Dante if he's like, hey, here's the deal. This is literally what he's going to say.
Away.
Here's the deal. Literally, it's an honor to have you here, to quote Prince Zuko. But also, he'll be real about it and be like, we don't want the photos to be obstructed, but feel free to use your phone if you want to.
Also, I've been the photographer before. And yeah, as long as people aren't like sticking their arms out in the aisle or standing in the way, mm-hmm. it's fine. Mm-hmm. You can still get amazing
good photos. Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Reception. What are your top three reception priorities?
Mine? Yours.
No, you first. I think about it.
Oh, yeah? Okay. Mine, for sure, is good dance music. I would love a live band at our wedding if we can pull that off. Obviously, I have so many musician friends, but those musician friends also, I want them to experience our wedding as not work as well. So there's going to be a balance there. So good music, for sure, good food. The third one is an open bar. And I think that open bar is really a cool thing. Or if you are trying to save money, have open bar at least for like an hour. Mm-hmm. And then after a certain time, then you start charging. You know what I mean? So I don't know. Those are my top three things.
My top three are the same as your top two.
Okay.
So good food, good music. And the third one is flow. So I want to make sure that the whole flow feels like right.
That's my top now too as well.
Yeah. Like as an attendee, but also as, you know, the person hosting the party, I think we've learned this from planning a lot of parties in the past, is the flow can like not make or break, but it has a lot to do with how the overall guest experience is.
Yes.
Because if the transitions to go into the next thing are too long, too short, the food is not ready at a certain time, the pictures are taking too long, it throws off the whole party. It throws off the whole wedding. So a priority for me, that's why we have a planner at both of our weddings, is to make sure that the flow is right throughout the whole
night.
I'm
all about transitions, especially as someone who produces a lot of concerts and things like that. We have actually Caitlin.
Oh, yeah.
Caitlin Stamos. Caitlin is back, and again, she is Caitlin Skybound on Instagram if you want to check her out. Here we go.
Priorities for wedding reception. Well, yeah, good dance music, good food, and just fun, lighthearted, no drama. Don't invite anyone who's drama, that's all. Invite good dancers, but not too good, so that you don't want people like intimidated to go to the dance floor. But yeah, people who can move and will have fun. And preferably not get too drunk. But I mean, it's nice to have one. It's nice to have one person who got too drunk.
Yes,
because
true.
It's just funnier.
That's an amazing take. I love that.
Thanks, Caitlin.
The dance note about the dancers being good, but not too good, because then it intimidates the rest of the non-dancers to join the dance floor, is so funny.
It's like karaoke when you go with real singers.
Right.
You know?
If you're a real singer at karaoke, you got to tone it down just a
little bit.
But you can come out for that one song, but definitely tone it down, not the whole time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That mindset goes for the dancers as well.
Exactly.
My sister's a really great dancer. She's going to... But she's the life of the party sometimes when that happens.
The thing is, no, Jasmine, what I love about Jasmine is she doesn't do it just to shine the light on herself. She brings everyone in to dance. So she'll start like a chain of dancing, and she'll start teaching people different dance moves.
Yeah.
So that's what I love about Jasmine. She's the life of the party on the dance floor, but she brings everyone with her. So
even
she brings
really
life
good.
To the dance floor.
Yes, absolutely. Before we close out the top priorities to a reception, I actually put a poll on the Sweet or Savory podcast. Mm. And do you want to guess which one won out of good music, good food, open bar, and entertaining program?
Good food.
What about you, Julie? What do
you think? That's what I would have guessed.
Cool. That wins with 39%.
I knew it. So people really do care about the food.
They do. And I know. That's something that I always kind of think.
AJ always like plays down the food, even though it is in your top three. But you have said like, people don't. Because I think you know why. People always say, when you get advice from people, when they're like, oh, what should you prioritize for your wedding? They're always like, no one's going to remember the food. They're going to remember the this and the this and how you feel. But I will say, I think more than the food being good or bad, it's the experience of how the food was. Because if there was a long line for the food, if it took too long to come out, if they ran out, that's what people remember, not necessarily the actual food itself.
You're right. It's the food experience.
The food experience.
Second place is good music, 32%. Third place is open bar. And then the last place, and maybe just people just don't think about this, is entertaining program. Mm-hmm. And I guess just me as someone who puts on a lot of shows, you know, I want to make sure that everyone's entertained at all times. Mm-hmm. But again, of course, that depends on the couple and how personal you want it to be or more open.
We had improv comedy at our second reception.
No
we
way.
Didn't have we didn't have dancing
like
or
comedy
anything
sports type thing.
Yeah.
Who did it?
It was really fun.
What, did you participate, Nathan?
Yeah, we were both like volunteers, but
okay.
I forgot what it was called. It was in Wisconsin. Maybe it was comedy sports.
But someone ran it?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was like, and you were involved in it and people got to watch you do improv comedy?
Yeah.
That's amazing.
And some of our guests were involved too. You know, they'd ask for a volunteer. Yeah. It was really, really fun.
That's so fun. Yeah. I've never heard of that. That's very unique.
Yeah.
It's really cool that, you know, presently a lot of people are taking traditions and doing their own things with those traditions, maybe mm-hmm. just based on what people have done in the past and making their own unique tradition, which is what we're doing mm-hmm. in both August and in September. So right. I'm really excited.
Love it. Can't wait. I'm so excited. Married. After talking about it this whole podcast, I'm getting even more excited about it.
Yay. Can't wait.
Let's do
weddings
it now.
Weddings are the best.
Wow. Okay. Well, thank you for listening to this full wedding podcast that could have been a part one, part two, part three. Mm-hmm. I want to thank our guests. I want to thank Jason Lee from mm-hmm. Jubilee. Check out all of the Jubilee media videos. They're all so good.
All so good.
There's a series called Spectrum that they're turning into a board game. Mm-hmm. And congrats again to Jason and Mel for getting married last year. We want to thank Ashley and Mick Torres, who also have a podcast. And it's We Are Mismo. So we are and then MISMO.com. You can check out their podcast there and on Instagram as well. We want to thank Caitlin McHugh Stamos, who has a podcast of her own called How Can I Help? And you can check that out at How Can I Help Pod. Mm-hmm. So thank you for providing your awesome feedback on various topics. Also, Helen Wu, who is married to our good friend, Phil Wang. Thank you for sending in your thoughts about small weddings and intimate weddings. Mm-hmm. And you can check out Helen's podcast, ABG, which stands for
Asian Boss Girl.
Yes.
Which I'm going to be on soon too.
Yes, mm-hmm. That's awesome. So shout outs to Melody, Janet, and Helen. Love y'all so much. And love you too, Phil. Thank you to our producers, the Texans.
The
married Texans. It has been so awesome to do this whole season with you and spend time with y'all here at your lovely home, which happens to have a cool set.
Awesome setup studio.
Awesome setup studio. So thank y'all so much. Again, to our first and only sponsor this season, Samson. Thank you for the gear. And shout outs to Kuyate, which is a company, a Phil-Am clothing company mm-hmm. that Alyssa and I are part owners on. And I'm wearing one of their shirts right now.
Mahal
it says
kita.
Mahal Kita. And I wore this just because I knew it was a wedding.
Love.
And it means, Mahal Kita means, Nathan?
I love you.
So I'm wearing this in honor of
I
the wedding
that's
episode.
That's the first Tagalog I ever learned.
Yay! Oh, that's a good one.
That's a good one. Yeah, you didn't teach her a curse word, which is mostly what
people
yeah,
learn first.
I forgot. I learned like poop and stuff. Like
that. Oh, I can't believe we're almost at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Thank you to everyone who's contributed from our Twitch family to Discord, to our Instagram followers, our friends and family for all supporting this podcast. And we have one more episode of the season next.
Yeah. And thank you to our Glisten Up team who's helping behind the scenes. We love y'all. Wow. This podcast has just been so fulfilling and so fun to spread the word on. And I love that these episodes are also, we call them evergreen because they're not necessarily tied to a specific time or mm-hmm. a current event.
Yeah.
These can last forever. So if you listen
in 5 years,
at any
time.
You know, they're all still good. So check out our podcast page for more debates like which way do you face in the shower?
Is Disneyland better than Disney World?
Does pineapple belong on pizza?
And can you be friends with your ex? And other polarizing topics. Don't forget to follow us on social media at Sweet or Savory Pod and feel free to email us at sweetorsavorypod@gmail.com. Please continue to rate, review, and subscribe. And please tell all your friends. Stay sweet.
Or savory.
Bye.
Or sour.